Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. It is now Tuesday, May 31st, 2011. I hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. I know I did. I got to see widespread panic this past weekend. And Umphrey's McGee. It's exciting for me, at least. But ready to get back to work here on Tuesday and talk some Green Bay Packers football. Once again, I was disappointed to find out when I came back here and for Tuesday, the NFL lockout is still on. Right now, we should be talking about OTAs. We should be talking about minicamp coming up. There should be football to be talking about. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get our way. But we plug on. If you want to comment on today's show, please feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through. Or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. We have a guest on the show today at the bottom of the hour at 8:30. We'll have Adam Check of AllGreenBayPackers.com joining us, also of the Associated Press. So, good morning, everyone. Glad to have you. Let's get right to it. Let's take a look at what's in the news today in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Here's what we missed over Memorial Day weekend. Our lead story today, and the one that's probably gotten the most attention over the past several days, is that pay cuts for employees of the Green Bay Packers have not been ruled out. While they're not having pay cuts already, it could happen in the future. And that's what Green Bay Packers president Mark Murphy said in an interview with Mike Vandermaus of the Green Bay Press Gazette. If you click our top link in the daily links today, it'll take you to PackersNews.com by the Green Bay Press Gazette. Article right here. And Mark Murphy is quoted as saying, quote, "It's based on when we're going to start missing revenue," Murphy said on Friday. That's what'll happen with the coaches, assistant coaches, front office people within the organization. They'll miss paychecks when the Packers start missing revenue. And that pretty much means when the Packers miss games. You know, everything that's going on right now, you know, isn't too bad. You know, in fact, the Packers are probably doing better than most other, teams in the NFL because of the Super Bowl win. Because the Packers won the Super Bowl, they are probably making more in merchandise than any other team in the entire NFL. You know, I imagine most people have bought their Super Bowl merchandise by now. But, you know, in that time frame after the Super Bowl, February, March, April, you know, that's when people were buying all their Super Bowl XLV champs gear. You know, while the rest of the NFL team would be selling no more than normal, the Packers had, an abundance of riches, you could say. I'm sure they're not getting rich off of it, but they're probably making some nice little coin, with all the Super Bowl gear. So, you know, the Packers are doing fine right now in terms of revenue, and they won't start losing it until they start missing games. You know, it starts in the preseason. You know, they're not making a ton of money on the preseason. But, you know, the Packers host two games. That's two full stadiums, you know, because season ticket holders have to buy you know, preseason tickets. There's no way around it. They have to have them. That's part of the deal. So, you know, whether people show up or not, it's sold out. But I mean, that's a parking lot full of people paying for parking. That is people coming and eating at the atrium, at Curly's Pub, and their ice cream shop, etc., etc. And it's more sold merchandise and people coming to stay in the greater Green Bay area. So, I mean, that's big money for two football games, you know, not to mention family night and training camp as well. You know, lots of money being made there. So once those things start getting canceled, once we start getting into the August time frame, is when those things might happen. Just another interesting little tidbit from that article in the Green Bay Press Gazette. It also said, and I quote here, Murphy said the lockout, which has been in effect for nearly 3 months, has had only a small financial impact on the Packers, primarily involving sponsorships, but ticket revenue and other areas haven't fallen off. It's interesting to see that they have lost money in terms of sponsorships, and I suppose that comes in the form of, you know, all these things you hear, the official sponsors of the Green Bay Packers, you know, what is it, you know, Johnsonville Brats is the official sausage of the Green Bay Packers, and, you know, there's 5 zillion categories, you know, I'm just making this up, I don't even know who it is, but Holiday Inn, the official hotel provider of the Green Bay Packers, you know, they have all sorts of stuff across tons of categories there, and I imagine that's where, you know, big corporations, you know, like a Johnsonville or, you know, a Holiday Inn, you know, they're not going to sink money into sponsorships at this juncture, you know, if there's no football being played, if the NFL is being locked out. So you can understand why they might be losing a little bit of money there. And it will probably pick up as soon as the NFL fixes their, you know, this lockout. Things change. They get back to normal. And interesting, it says ticket revenue hasn't fallen off. And of course, we all know as fans of the Green Bay Packers, they've been, have a season ticket waiting list a mile long. So, you know, the bowl area of the Lambeau Field is, you know, sold out for almost eternity. Maybe not that long, but, you know, there's no shortage of people wanting to buy tickets there. Where they have had an effect, from what you hear, from what I've read, is in the, you know, the suite area, the skybox area, where sponsors, I think, whereas in the past, they would buy, you know, a season's worth of games at a time, you know, major sponsors, again, like people like Johnsonville Brats, you know, that they'll buy a suite for an entire season. And I think that has leveled off a little bit because we saw a post a while back at the Packers official website that they were looking for suites for individual games. So, you know, from what I'm gathering here from this report, at least, is that those have been, you know, perhaps gobbled up, been spoken for. They are being sold on an individual game basis, some of them, perhaps just a few of them, but that is happening, and it doesn't look like the Packers are having a problem selling those, at least on a one-time basis rather than an entire season. So we'll keep tabs on that and see how that goes as time goes on, but those are kind of some of the things happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers and their financial situation. David says, all this Johnsonville Brat talk is making me hungry. It would only be Packer fans who talk of sausages at 8 a.m. in the morning is making them hungry, right? John Rayor comments up above, The sad thing is, because of the lockout, they probably lost Super Bowl stuff revenue. And that's possible. You know, I'm sure in the immediate aftermath of the Super Bowl, you know, people bought tons of gear, et cetera, t-shirts, hats, you name it, pennants. I bought plenty myself. Bought some for family members, things of that nature. So, but yeah, I mean, after kind of the luster wore off a little bit, you know, after the immediate aftermath of the Super Bowl, I imagine, you know, things did perhaps fall off, you know, interest in the Packers, interest in the NFL, because of all this. Just interesting here, seeing the retweet from Aaron Nagler on the live blog, Tom Crabtree chiming in on a separate conversation here. What worries me is practicing poor technique with no coaches there to correct it, reinforcing bad habits. You know, that's a, you know, in response to, if you look on Twitter right now, if you follow Packer reporters and NFL reporters and Packer fans and NFL fans, a little bit of a discussion going on about, you know, the effectiveness of player organized informal workouts. So the Packers own Tom Crabtree, you know, chiming in on the situation. You know, it's been talked about a lot, and we've been talking about it here on Real Bird Central, how, you know, all these workouts are occurring, and there's, you know, differing reports on the how effective they are. You know, AJ Hawk saying they've been a disaster, quote, disaster for other teams. I think that's hyperbole. I think that's going a little far. I don't see how it could hurt as long as people aren't getting hurt. I mean, practicing some, you know, at least you're doing something. You're at least working out and getting in shape, I suppose, if nothing else, even if you're, you know, getting bad habits. I mean, coaches would be ideal, but, you know, I think something is better than nothing. But again, I'm not going to chastise, you know, players who haven't worked out together in an informal player-organized fashion. You know, like I said, we talked about the very last episode of Railbird Central here. As long as the players are staying in shape and staying out of trouble, those are, yeah, I think we've said it before, the two biggest things that we can possibly hope for. We have the poll up right now. Will the lack of coaches hurt team workouts in the long run? Yes or no? Let me see if I can. I haven't voted yet. I see 75% of the people say yes. I suppose I'll say yes to the question. And that's why you'll see a jump up in the yes column here. But, you know, in the short run, I think the lack of coaches hurt. You know, like I said, without coaches, I mean, what else can you expect? What else can you hope for? I mean, these guys are doing this out of the goodness of their heart, working out together. I have very low expectations for player workouts. I think that's what the casual fan just wants to see, that they are working out together. They could care less what's happening during the workouts, the casual fan. You know, they just want to see that the Packers are working out together, I think. If they see that, they would be happy. And we might see that here perhaps in a couple weeks when all the Green Bay Packers convene in Green Bay in mid-June for the Super Bowl ring ceremony. We'll see what happens. You know, I'm sure there will be discussions of player-organized workouts when they all convene here in just a couple weeks in June. Was that about 3 weeks away? 2.5 weeks away? Something like that? June 16th, I think, is the date. And they will no doubt have a players-only meeting. I guarantee it. You know, what'll be covered in that meeting, I have no clue. You know, what can they do other than probably organize a workout? Yeah, I don't think they're going to change the outcome of a lockout in the NFL, whether there's a lockout or not. But we'll see. We'll wait 2.5 weeks here, and we'll see where it goes. You know, other than that, not a whole lot of news affecting the Packers over Memorial Day weekend. And like most of America, most people stopped working over the weekend, enjoyed it. A lot of people out on vacation. So, you know, there were some feature articles over the weekend here in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. As you can see, there was an article about Andrew Brandt, former Packers vice president. You know, everybody knows him in the Packers organization as the salary cap guy, the salary cap guru. Negotiated player contracts and now has gone on to, you know, be an analyst on ESPN. Started the National Football Post, nationalfootballpost.com. So there's a big article written by Lori Nickel in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about Andrew Brandt. Good guy. Like to see he's doing well. Going and teaching at the University of Pennsylvania, I believe, on top of all these other things he's doing. Just a prolific guy, in my opinion. In the Green Bay Press Gazette, there was a feature article on Corey Elmore, who happens to be the brother of Ricky Elmore, the draft choice of the Green Bay Packers in the sixth round, outside linebacker. Corey Elmore is twin brother, in fact. You can see they look very much alike. Corey had a heart condition, a heart defect that required surgery. Used to play football in college with his brother. You know, they both went to the University of Arizona, but things happened, changed, and he couldn't play football for several years as, you know, he kind of, you know, recovered from the surgery and made sure he was okay to, you know, be a athlete that puts stress on his heart. But he's gotten bodybuilding, and it's quite the interesting story. Now he's making a comeback, hoping to play in college football once again. He had even taken part in the University of Arizona's Pro Day workouts this past, you know, whatever time frame, March, usually when those happen. And got a little bit of attention from NFL scouts. And you know, they found out he never played at all, or played very little, at least in college. I think he redshirted 1 year at Arizona, but that might have been it. So, once again, very, very interesting what had happened there. Packers named 3 people to their board of directors, or candidates at least, that have to be voted upon by shareholders that, you know, no doubt will be voted in. You know, most of the people vote by proxy when the shareholders meeting happens in July. So, you know, stuff that, you know, something big would have to happen for somebody who's, you know, these candidates not to be voted in. So, there's your news, what happened with the Green Bay Packers. I suppose perhaps the one bit of football item that, you know, kind of affects, you know, what's going on in the NFL right now and the Packers, kind of something to pay attention to minorly, would be the supplemental draft. Usually happens every July. You know, usually people who enter the supplemental draft or have some sort of issues going on that they couldn't be in the regular draft in April. You know, they've got kicked off their team, or You know, usually these guys have, you know, are more troubled than usual, than your typical, you know, draft prospect. Something's wrong with them. And here the whole situation evolving at Ohio State University. Jim Tressel stepping down because these players, such as Terrell Pryor, among others, you know, receiving improper benefits or, you know, selling their memorabilia, things like that. And of course, that's against the rules. And, you know, there's plenty of people saying how dumb these rules actually are. And I'm kind of on board with that. I think the rules go overboard in college football regarding amateurism and things like that. But, the possibility exists that these currently suspended Ohio State players may declare for the supplemental draft. But we don't know whether there's going to be a supplemental draft right now, I don't think, at least according to this article. And, you know, this was written 2 days ago, I believe, or a day ago. And maybe it's been rectified by now, clarified, whether there will be a supplemental draft and whether the Packers could take part in it. You know, and again, this is more than a month away. Supplemental draft on July 15, supposed to be. And, you know, whether the Packers would even take part in something like that, you know, remains to be seen. Whether they want any of these Ohio State players, or anybody else for that matter, who may declare for the NFL draft. But something to keep tabs on, I guess, as you know, the lockout continues to evolve. We continue to talk more and more about what will or wouldn't happen. John Rahor comments on the live blog from Adam Schefter of ESPN. At this time, there have been no applicants for the NFL's supplemental draft, thus no date has been set. Interesting. So the way it goes is if you draft somebody at the supplemental draft here in July, you get your draft choice for the next draft next April, April of 2012. You know, it would be taken away. You know, I suppose if, you know, Terrell Pryor applies for the supplemental draft, he would be a big name that most people would recognize. The Ohio State quarterback, great athlete. Whether he would apply, you know, if the Packers say draft him in the first round of the supplemental draft, they lose their first rounder in 2012. And because of the lockout right now, you don't know if there's going to be a draft in 2012. I mean, everybody hopes there's going to be. But, you know, with things being locked out, the details of the draft haven't been ironed out. Whether, you know, the draft itself will change. And yeah, I doubt they would change it much. But, you know, things like compensatory picks might change. And you know, they could do anything with a new collective bargaining agreement. They're not going to say this could happen, but they could do a lottery-style thing in the NFL draft like the NBA if they, you know, wanted to really do that and, you know, make that part of the new collective bargaining agreement. So I guess just the lack of a CBA right now is kind of like, you know, impacting the situation. How much exactly it's going to affect it, I have no clue. We have no clue, I suppose, till time goes on and, you know, they finally resolve this mess. Packers haven't drafted anybody in the supplemental draft since Mike Wall. You know, when was that? That was back in the mid-90s. Good player. They made a good selection. a player ever comes like that along again, I certainly wouldn't hesitate if I'm the Packers to select a person in the supplemental draft like that. Mike Wall was a member of the military. I think he played for Navy, if I'm correct. So he was one of those people that it was more, the issue with him was more like military commitment and whether he had lost time practicing football or would lose time because of his military commitments. So long ago, I forget how it's happening, but he was kind of one of those where it was less a character concern and just more had to do with his Navy commitment than anything else. At 8:30 here, the bottom of the hour, we'll be talking to Adam Cech of allgreenbaypackers.com. This is kind of our walk through the Packers blogosphere, getting to know other Packer bloggers, other Packer websites. We spoke to Chad Toporsky and Al Bracco last week. This week we're continuing with Adam Cech, and I believe on Friday we're going to be talking to Thomas Hobbs of allgreenbaypackers.com. So looking forward to keeping going on our walk through the blogosphere and getting to know other Packer minds out there, other Packer voices in writing, at least we could say, contributors to the blogosphere. So with that, we're going to take a break here as it's almost 8:30, almost the bottom of the hour. When we come back on the line, we'll be talking to Adam Cech. So just hang on. We will be right back.
This is Brett Swain from the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Welcome back to Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and joining me right now on the line is Adam Cech of allgreenbaypackers.com. How are you this morning, Adam?
Doing well, Brian. Thanks.
Very good. Glad to have you. We've been having, other of your colleagues at All Green Bay Packers on the show, Chad Toporsky and Al Bracco last week. And, just like I asked them, about their background, I'm going to ask you the same thing. I know we've had you on the show before, Adam, so we've probably talked a little bit about this. And if you want, you can give us the Reader's Digest condensed version. But, how did you become a Packer fan? How'd you become a blogger? Tell us about what you do for a living. Just a little bit of background.
Sure. Well, I'm a freelance sports reporter here in Minnesota. As my part-time job and my real job, I work in public affairs for a government agency. And I guess I've always been a Packers fan since I was a kid. It started because I never liked football when I was real little, and my father would always come in on Sundays and turn off the professional wrestling that I was watching and would turn on football, and I would get upset. But one day he did that to me again on a Sunday, and it was a Packers game that he turned on. And it was at Lambeau Field. It was snowy. It was really cold conditions, and it just looked really cool on TV. And to me, as a little kid, that's what got me into football, and the Packers have been the team that I've cheered for ever since. And as far as how I got into blogging, even though I'm a part-time sports writer and do writing mostly for my public affairs gig during the day, it's a different kind of writing, and I always wanted to keep up my writing chops, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I decided to explore getting into blogging, and there were so many good Packers blogs out there, I figured I had to try and work my way in there somehow. So I started off at Packer Chatters, and then a while ago, Jersey Al Bracco made me an offer I couldn't refuse to join allgreenbaypackers.com, and here I am today.
Some of your, most widely viewed writing is with the Associated Press, stuff that I've read before. You've covered the Wild, I believe, and the Twins. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I cover everything pretty much besides the Vikings. the Vikings are the the two full-time staff members cover the NFL mostly, and which is a good thing because I don't want to spend my days cooped up in the Metrodome when I could be watching the Packers. But, you know, covering the other Minnesota sports part-time is perfect for me. My degree is in journalism. I started off working at some weekly papers and some smaller daily papers throughout Minnesota. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. But it's a lot of work, and mm-hmm. you don't get paid much, and the hours are long, and you really don't have much of a life. So I kind of fell into this public affairs job, and I kind of seized that opportunity, and that turned into my full-time career. And through some connections I had made when I was still in the newspaper business, I was able to secure a freelance gig with the AP, which helps me cover, you know, maybe one or two events every week, whether it's Twins games, Wild games, Timberwolves games, School mm-hmm. for Sports, to keep my foot in that journalism field and still get that taste.
So, you know, living in Minnesota, you have kind of a unique perspective on what's going on with the Vikings. There's so much turmoil there without the lack of a better stadium than the Metrodome. And, you know, you even wrote a post a week ago that about the ownership of the Vikings. You know, what's going on there? What's going to happen? Are they ever going to get a new stadium? You know, of course, you know, this would impact the Packers rather heavily, being a NFC North division rival.
My gut feeling is they will eventually get a stadium, just because these things always tend to happen. I mean, most teams end up getting the stadium that they're looking for. They made something work for the Twins. The Twins recently opened Target Field, which is a brand new stadium. Right now, they're talking about a new stadium just north of St. Paul, about 10 miles. It's a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of an out-of-the-way location. It would cost a lot of money to bring roads and clean up the site because it's an old ammunition dump, I think.
Okay.
And there's some controversy right now as to whether that site is the best location for the stadium or if they should build something in downtown Minneapolis because all of the infrastructure and transportation and parking is there already. But the main hang-up, besides those two points, is money. The state's in a major deficit right now. We're cutting funding for education, for housing, for communities, for you name it. We're slashing it. But somehow, some way, the Vikings and some politicians still expect us to raise taxes for a Viking stadium.
Yeah.
And that's the major hang-up right now. And nothing got done this last session. There's expected to be a special session here coming up soon. I doubt anything will get done then either. My guess is this will drag out and drag out probably into next year sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're asking me to guess, which is all I'm doing, I'm guessing that something will get done just because these things tend to get done when they absolutely have to get done.
It can't last too much longer, you'd have to think. I mean, how much longer can the Vikings play in the Metrodome? I mean, that's got to be one of the worst stadiums in the NFL. It's just kind of a sterile environment. Of course, they've had the problem with the roof. I mean, wow. It just, you know, as an outside observer, it strikes me.
It's actually not that bad of a place to play football, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Most people might disagree with me because it gets so loud in there. And
true.
Once the fans are all fired up, it is a decent atmosphere. But I know the Vikings don't get much as far as parking revenue and suite revenue from the Metrodome, so that's why they're looking for a new site. But, I mean, really, in reality, I just don't think there's the urgency right now to get something done right now. I mean, we're getting close to having to get something done for a new Viking stadium,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying we just because I'm from Minnesota, mm-hmm. because I'm a Vikings fan, of course. But I mean, really, what's the Vikings? What's the Vikings' options right now? They're not going to move to LA, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could be wrong, but you would think the NFL would want to keep the Vikings in Minnesota and move a team like Jacksonville far before they'd want to move the Vikings.
Yeah,
I just don't see that there's any, you know, build a stadium for us or else kind of scenario right now, which is why I think this might drag into next year, but yeah. We'll see.
Talking Packers football here, finally. We'll stop talking about the Vikings for a moment. But the top post, the most recent post at all, greenbaypackers.com, you kind of take a look at the salary cap situation the Packers find themselves in and, you know, kind of almost rank the players or put them into different categories as, you know, kind of their future with the organization, you know, from a financial standpoint. You know, perhaps, Adam, who are some Packers that are kind of on the fence line who might be, you know, between staying with the Packers or being cut for salary cap reasons?
Well, you have to figure, obviously, Nick Barnett, he's got to be up there. He makes a lot of money. He's older. He's been injury prone the last couple of seasons. Ryan Grant's got to be in that discussion. Personally, I hope they keep Ryan Grant. I think, you know, if they can afford him, obviously, if there's no salary cap issues. But I think the combination of Grant Starks would be great, and the new guy from Hawaii as well. I think if you have three backs, you're set if one gets injured. And the difference between Starks and Grant would be, I think they would complement each other well. And I'm not quite ready to cut ties with Ryan Grant, but we shall see. Brady Papinga's got to be in that discussion as far as getting cut if there's financial issues. And, those three, I'd say, got to be right up there as far as who would be considered of being let go. And, you know, it's kind of an elephant in the room, but you have to also maybe consider Donald Driver. Not that I'd want Driver to go, and not that Thompson is sentimental at all, but I don't think they would cut Driver. But he's old, he's slowing down a bit, and he's making a lot of money. If they're forced to do something, you would have to think that Driver would be in that discussion.
Adam, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I know I'm calling you at work. I'll let you get back to work and get the boss off your case.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Take care.
See you, Brian.
See ya. Adam Check of AllGreenBayPackers.com. Once again, thanks for joining us, all the writers at AllGreenBayPackers.com, and we'll have Thomas Hobbs on Friday as we once again make our way through the Packers blogosphere. Yeah, kind of interesting what, you know, taking a look at the salary cap situation of the Green Bay Packers. You know, I had written at length last week about some issues going forward, that the Packers have one of the highest payrolls in the entire NFL. And with that, you know, there weren't too many issues last season when there was no salary cap. But when they strike a new CBA, salary cap will come back. And the Packers might have to make some cuts, some tough ones. You know, it's not that they want to, but it looks like it's going to be a distinct possibility. And, you know, some of the players that, you know, Adam Check just mentioned seem to be possible candidates that might be cut or traded, perhaps. A guy like Nick Barnett, probably near the top of the list. A guy like Brady Papinga could be in there. Not that Brady Papinga is making $10 million a season, but he's making around $2 million, I think, which is a lot to pay for, you know, a backup outside linebacker and a special teams player. Not to say they, you know, injuries occur. They could keep them, certainly. But, you know, should other outside linebackers stay healthy, he, you know, might be on his way out, perhaps. You know, not that the Packers want to make these decisions, all things being equal. They would probably be glad to have, you know, Brady Papinga and Nick Barnett as backups on the team. But, you know, there's a whole lot more involved than that. You know, there's people's feelings, too. You got to consider, especially a guy like Nick Barnett, you know, he's not going to want to be a backup. He might be doing it begrudgingly, but you can't blame him. He's been a starter in the NFL and could perhaps be a starter somewhere else. So, you know, tough decisions going forward. You know, it's, you know, the Packers they'll get it done, you know. They'll move on. They'll make it right. Whatever the rules are that they have to play by, and we don't know the rules. We don't know how much the salary cap's going to be. But when that time comes, you know, they'll make the decisions, and some cuts will be made. You know, probably at least one or two veteran players. That's, you know, it's going to be big time news when these cuts come. You know, if they cut or trade a guy like Nick Barnett, it'll be big news when that happens. You know, as for who all these players are, we don't know. As Adam said, you know, options are Ryan Grant, options are Donald Driver. You know, you could take a look at a guy like Mark Tauscher as well, who's being paid a lot, perhaps not a starter, and a guy who's nearing the age of retirement in the NFL. A Justin Harrell, former first-round draft choice, bust. Justin Harrell's not making a ton of money anymore. You know, most of that money came in his first couple seasons in the NFL. But still, you know, making more than perhaps, you know, other players and younger players, younger options, and certainly injury-prone and hasn't, even when he's been healthy, he hasn't shown to be a, you know, anything special. So, you know, those are all options that exist. You know, there's a lot to play out. A lot to play out. We have no clue what's going to happen going forward. It's tough to say. David asks, will there be any pay cuts at Cheesehead TV? People have to get paid for there to be cuts, I think. Thanks for joining us today, folks. It's quarter two, but gonna wrap it up here on Railbird Central this morning. We'll be back on Friday, the end of this week. Like I said, Thomas Hobbs will be joining us, and we'll be getting ready for the Donald Driver Celebrity Softball game this Friday. That's this upcoming weekend. The game itself starts on Sunday, is on Sunday. We'll be preparing for it here. One of the, you know, the premier events on the Packers off-season calendar. So thanks a lot for joining us here on Railbird Central, folks. Thanks for Adam Check for joining us and our moderator today, Alex Talich. Thanks, everyone. We will see you later, and have a good day.